First John chapter 2 is just for me and you. In verse 15, let's read it together. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Whoa. Now, does that mean God doesn't love you?
No.
No. It means you're not acknowledging the love of the Father. Does everybody get it? Okay. Come on, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Wow. So the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride is not of the Father, but is of the world. Right? Now, lust is a desire to gratify senses. It gratifies, you know, it gratifies your senses, your feelings, your emotions, certain things. Amen? Now, understand this, that it also refers to a desire for things that are contrary to the will of God. Does everybody get it? Okay, so we see that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is of the world and not of the Father. So when you and I are loving the things of the world, guess who we're under? Even though that you're a believer, you have a choice of who you're going to serve. Well, I've been a believer for years, and I still can't do the right thing. It's because you're under the authority of Satan. Yeah, but I received Jesus Christ a long time ago. Well, the word believe means to follow. Amen. So if you're really a believer, you're a follower or you're a liar. It's real simple. So that means that you're back under the authority of Satan because you're making that choice not to follow Jesus. You're following the ways of the world. And the ruler of the world is who? All right? Cool. Verse 17. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So he's saying, listen, if you're following Jesus, you're doing the will of God. If you're following Satan, you're doing the will of the world. It's that plain and simple. And of course, who you serve when you die is where you go.
Whoa.
You mean not once saved, always saved? No, that's a lie from hell.
Amen.
Who you serve when you die is where you go. What if I thought God was a loving God? He is. And he's a just God.
Amen.
And he's a righteous God.
Amen.
And he's a God of love, the greatest love that you and I could ever know. But I wouldn't want to fall in his hands of wrath.
Amen.
Who you serve when you die is where you go. You can't serve two masters, right?
Right?
So if you're serving the world and you have the love of the world, when you die, that's where you go. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Let's go a little further. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All praise be to God. I guess you want to know what the name of the teaching is.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that.
It's called The Spirit of Pride. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Let's read it together. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So now he does another comparison here. He says, listen, you've not received the Spirit of the world, right? But you've received the Spirit of God. But see, that means that the Spirit of the world, a representation of authority under the powers of darkness. He's not talking about one specific spirit. He's talking about the rule of Satan. You've not received the Spirit. In other words, you've been rescued from the Spirit or the authority of Satan because Paul is writing to the church of believers. Amen? And he's trying to tell them, come on, come out of there, will ya? Don't you get it? Yeah, I know you've received Jesus. Now come out from that bondage and quit coming, having a love affair with the world and start having a love affair with the true King. Because that spirit or the authority or the ruler of the world is trying to access you and move you out of position. Amen? So, in other words, move from under the authority of the kingdom of darkness and get into the authority of the kingdom of light. And the spirit of pride, pride is a spirit. Lust is a spirit. Hello? All of these things are spirit because it says if you are, if it's of not of the Father and it's of the world and the ruler of the world is Satan, it means it's his demonic forces. Does everybody get it? You know, people are trying to throw pride like, oh, it's just my flesh. That's baloney. Yes, our flesh is the seed of the serpent. We have dominion over it. But those are demons that are trying to access you through your senses, through your mind, through your flesh. They're trying to access you and contaminate your spirit. They want you back. They want access to you to run their life in you. Does everybody get it? Pride is the number one killer. Pride. You know what pride is? Personal reverence into deadly end. In other words, you are reverencing yourself. Personal reverence into deadly end. Spirit of pride. Let's go to Psalm 36. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 36. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 36. And verse 10, can you read it with me? 10 through 12. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you. And your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the what?
Foot of pride
come against me. And let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. So he acknowledges the foot of pride and the hand of the wicked is the same, isn't it? There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Wow. So here David was calling out to the Lord saying, please, Lord, continue in your loving kindness towards me. And don't let the foot of pride have access to me, which shakes hands with the wicked one. Because I know I will fall and it will be hard for me to get back up. Amen. Personal reverence unto a deadly end. Proverbs 8. Glory to the Lamb.
Amen.
Proverbs 8. Is everybody there? Would you read verse 13 with me? Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now that's powerful, isn't it? I had one guy try to tell me, man, you can't hate, you're a Christian. I threw him out of the class. Because he kept coming against it. Yeah, during a service. No demon's going to exalt himself in our classes. Tried to come against it because he didn't understand the word. Told him to be quiet and listen. He wouldn't. Out. Don't have time to play with demons. The demons do not accept counsel. You can't medicate one and you can't counsel one. The only thing you can do is cast them out. And if he ain't willing to leave, the person can go right with them. See ya, is right.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Do you know that you and I are to hate evil? That's why people fall. They don't hate evil. They still haven't gotten that hatred for evil yet. They still touch unclean things. They don't hate evil. How much you love God is how much you hate evil. You love Him, you hate Him. The more you love Him, the more you hate evil. Come on, let's read. The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way. We're going to hate pride. We're going to hate arrogance and we're going to hate the evil way. And He tells us another one. And the perverse mouth I hate. So these are things that you and I should hate. Why? Because they are evil. Evil. And like I said, that's why people fall. They really don't hate evil. They're still touching and playing with cursed things and do not have a hatred for evil. But you and I must hate evil. And how much you love God is how much you hate evil. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. To hate evil, to hate pride, to hate arrogance and a perverse mouth. Proverbs 16. I love the Proverbs. Proverbs 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Let's read verse 5. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Well, that ought to just say it right there. We can all go home now. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. You want to be an abomination to the Lord? Then shake hands with pride. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. They won't go unpunished. He who shakes hands with pride sows to the flesh. He who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. Amen. Amen. And verse 17. Everybody read it with me. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we know that a haughty spirit is the same as a prideful spirit. Amen? And it's when somebody falls and backslides and does the wrong thing or whatever, breaks covenant with God, it's because it was pride that pushed them out of the way. Because number one is, before the devil can get to you, you're rejecting the spirit. Amen. Does everybody get it? Because the Spirit tells us things to come. So the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us away from that destruction. He's trying to quicken us and unction us. And what happens is we reject the Spirit and the other Spirit shows up. Amen. And when the other Spirit shows up, we bite the bait because it's part of pride and we make a fall. Now, we can have little falls and big falls, can't we? It can be all kinds of falls. There's something that you know that, especially in relationships or whatever, in friendships, whatever, brothers and sisters, you know that there's something you're not supposed to say or do. But you know what happens? You reject what the Spirit is saying, and Mr. Pride shows up. Well, you know what I think? Hello. Amen. Let me give you my opinion. Someone who can't, who speaks everything he thinks. Yeah. He has no control over his tongue. He has fellowship with a spirit of pride because he really doesn't care. Because if he cared, he'd be listening to the Spirit, and the Spirit would be telling him what's to come. Amen? Amen. Everybody all right?
Yeah.
Verse 19. Better to be humble... better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. So we see that not only are we to hate pride, but pride goes before a fall and is an abomination to God. Pride goes before a fall and is an abomination to God. Amen? Let's see what else pride is. Go to Proverbs 28. 28:25. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Everybody there? Let's read it. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, always causing division. He's got a lot of but ministry. Yeah, but you know. A lot of reasoning. But he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. Somebody who is prideful does not trust in the Lord. He trusts in himself. Verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. God calls a prideful person a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be what? Delivered. Hallelujah. So we see pride also stirs up strife and brings division, doesn't it? Let's go to Proverbs 11. Is everybody all right? Good. We're going to nail pride tonight. Pride is a terrible thing. We all deal with it. Do you understand this? Everyone deals with pride. And the Word says when the Spirit leaves an individual, he comes back. He's going to try and access me and you one way or another. And if he can't access you, he can at least throw his darts at you and try and cause you to stumble. Proverbs, when I say 11? Verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Wow. So shame comes with pride, doesn't it? Because usually after a fall, there's shame, isn't there? Amen. Let's go to Obadiah. Obadiah. Obadiah, between Amos and Jonah. Obadiah, verse 3 and 4. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Let's read it. The pride of your heart has deceived you. Pride always brings deception, doesn't it? Isn't that the devil's greatest weapon, deception? You who dwell in the cliffs of the rock, whose habitation is I, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as an eagle, and though you set your nest above the stars, from there I'll bring you down, says the Lord. You can't outrun Daddy. You can't outrun Daddy. So pride brings deception, doesn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to James 4. James 4. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 4. Glory to God. Is everybody there? In verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So God resists the proud, doesn't he? He resists them. In verse 7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now here's a formula. How much you submit to God is how much you can resist the devil. So how much you love God is how much you hate the devil. How much you submit to God is how much you can resist the devil. So if you don't have a love affair with the Lord, you're not submitting too much, are you? So if you're not submitting too much, you can't resist the devil too much. And you're struggling and fighting because he's still running in parts of your life. In verse 8 it says what? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Yow. So God resists the proud. The formula of how much you submit to God is how much you can resist the devil. How much you love God is how much you hate the devil. Amen? Praise God. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. First Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Likewise, your younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. So understand that the opposite of pride is what? Humility. That's what pleases God. It says again, God resists the proud but gives grace to the... Now grace is a representation of favor, isn't it? Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Too many people are trying to exalt themselves. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. A pride individual tries to work everything out himself and doesn't allow God to do it. Amen? And when you try and work everything out yourself, that means you're sowing to the flesh. It means you will reap corruption. That's the devil's play. But you and I are supposed to be wise enough to know the trickery of the devil. Because if you're really fellowshipping in the Spirit, you're going to know these things, aren't you? Amen? You're not going to bite the bait. Or if you do bite the bait, you'll spit it out before he pulls the hook. In verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now you got to understand something. He's looking for someone to bite the bait of pride. Why? So he can devour us. You know, devour doesn't mean just to push over and attack. It means to kill. Devour means to distinguish. Gone. Evaporate. History. Distinguish. Whatever. Extinguish. That's the word I'm looking for. Extinguish that thing. In verse 9, what does it say? Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not the only one going through it. You know, we're all going through it. Well, I don't understand. Why isn't this person and what? Why? Because there's more relationship in the Spirit. That's why. There's more humbleness. There's more resisting the proud. Does everybody get it? Jesus said, deny, pick up, and follow. If you can't deny yourself, you'll never pick up and follow. And he said, do it daily. Just because you denied one day doesn't mean you're going to deny the next. By denying yourself, you're resisting pride. And you're putting on the cloak of humility. And you have grace from God. And you're able to submit to the Lord. And you're able to resist the devil. And pride will not access you. It doesn't mean that you won't be tempted. Because it says right here that all of us are going through it. We're going through it every day. You and I have to be careful. You know, that's one of the first things we share with guys that come into the discipleship house. They get a lot of knowledge right away. A lot of things happen to them right away. Holy Spirit's here delivering and healing and changing right away. You can't allow that to push you out of the way with pride. We see a lot of guys come in here and don't fulfill what God has asked them to do. They leave before God allows them to. They usually call back in a few weeks. Can I come back? I bit the bait. You know, now the course has got to run. You know, we've got to learn to do it right the first time.
Hallelujah.
We've got to deny ourselves. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to struggle with it. And it's not about a feeling. You know, discipline is an important factor of our life as a believer.
Amen.
We must be disciplined. Discipline maintains a relationship which maintains a love affair. Discipline, there's no glory in discipline. No. But there's no pride in discipline either. Hello? Well, man, I just don't feel like doing it. Let me share something with you. You know what? If you stop doing what you're supposed to do in the morning in your prayer times, the demon of pride has got you wrapped. And it's just a matter of time where he pulls you out of position and devours you. Well, man, I'm all right now. I've been doing it for a long time. I know, God knows my heart. You already bit the bait. And it's just a matter of time to where he yanks you right out and devours you. And if you're one in here tonight, I pray such conviction will come upon you and such fear of God will come upon you that when you leave this room tonight and go home, you'll get on your knees and cry out for mercy.
Amen.
Because time is too short to play games with God. Way too short. You're either in or you're out. You're either hot or you're cold. If you're lukewarm, you're cold. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Oh, you know, I need to go somewhere. Let's go to Mark 16.
That's a good place to go.
Mark 16. I got to share something with you that the Lord was sharing with me today. Hallelujah. Or was it yesterday? Yeah, it must have been yesterday. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo-hoo. Yeah. And Mark 16. What page? What? Give him a page number. 687. And Mark 16. Glory to God. In verse 16, I think we know the scripture a little bit in here. And it says, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now, what's the word believe mean?
Follow.
To follow. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
And of course, then it says, in my name they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's one who follows, because you're following the one who is a sign and wonder, so sign and wonders ought to follow me and you. Now, I want you to understand something, that the word believe, of course, represents follow. One of the problems is, and what pride does, is he begins to get into a believer's life to where he begins to rely on knowledge and stops following. Does everybody get it? So he's not following anymore. He's relying and trusting in what he's learned already.
Amen.
And he stops following. Now, the devil can deceive us and make us believe that we're following because we're doing what we've learned, but we've actually stopped following what the Spirit is telling us. And that's where pride comes right there. So now we rely on what we've learned. Amen. False revelation. False goosebumps. We begin to rely on what we've learned, emotions and feelings. And we stop following what the Spirit is saying. That's where pride comes right in. Does everybody get it? Everybody get it?
Amen.
Praise God. Because when you stop following the Spirit, the other one shows up. Personal reverence into a deadly end. Pride. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Proverbs 3. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3. You know, the devil convinces people that they can rely on yesterday's prayers. Hallelujah. In verse 5, Proverbs 3, in verse 5. Would you all read that with me? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. That's a hard thing, isn't it, sometimes? Too many times we begin to rely on what we feel in our senses and what we see and what we hear and you know. Well, when you begin to rely on what your own understanding is, that's pride. Does everybody get it? That's why we're to cast down thoughts and imaginations that come against the knowledge of God. Well, you know, No. That's why there's a difference between assuming and faith. Faith comes by hearing. That means you heard what God told you to do. Assuming, and every people use it, well, I'm going to step out in faith. Well, did God tell you to go? No, but I'm going to... No. Then that's assuming. And that means you're trusting in what you're feeling instead of going what God is telling you to do. And that's called pride. Does everybody get it? In verse 6, it says, in all. Would you line in all? Circle all, parentheses. I don't care if you star it. Highlight it.
Amen.
Do something with it. In all. It. Would you read it with me, too?
In all
your ways, acknowledge Him. Oh, wait a minute. Stop right there. Oh, let's see. Well, I guess I really... Do I need to acknowledge the Lord? I'm making a decision in buying... You think I don't acknowledge the Lord? You know. Well, He knows my heart. You know, I mean, the Word says that He establishes the steps of a righteous individual. A righteous individual acknowledges God in every step he's going to make.
Glory.
He doesn't assume. He acknowledges him. Does everybody get it? It says acknowledge him in all, not some, all. When you start going by what you feel, that's assuming. You don't move until you hear. Does everybody get it? Hey, listen, when I don't hear, I usually get thrown out or moved somehow. If God wants me to move and I miss it, he moves me. I'm not worried about it. You know, he makes a way, slides me out, whatever it may be, puts me in another place. Hallelujah. If I miss what he usually tells me a few days before what's up. And then I'm waiting. See, because when you don't know what to do, you wait. That's how God acknowledges and shows himself to you. So that you're not building this house. He is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And that's what causes people to get prideful, doesn't it? Amen. See, what did he say to Gideon? He said, hey, look, man, I know you got 22,000 guys out here, you know. And you better get rid of some. Because then you're going to think it's your own strength, and then I won't get the glory, he said. In fact, he knocked them all the way down to what, 300? I mean, come on, out of 22,000 dudes? He said, now I'm going to get the glory with 300. He always gets the glory. Always. 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 Everybody say always.
Always.
Hallelujah. Let's read verse 6 one more time. I think we need to hear it. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Wow. And verse 7, this is even better. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now he's coming to the nitty-gritty here. You ready? Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. Now, listen, he's saying, would you please trust me? Would you please acknowledge me?
Amen.
Right? I'm going to direct your paths so that you can get a blessing. God is always trying to get something to us, not take it away.
Amen.
The only thing he's asking for you and me to give up is the garbage. In us, we're our worst enemy.
Oh, yeah.
So look at, he's telling us, look, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Evil is trusting in yourself. Then he says, look at, it's going to be health for you, right? And strength for you. And if you'll do this, you'll honor me with your first possession because you truly trust me. Yeah, but I got bills to pay. You want 10% of my bills? He wants 10% so he can get you the money to pay your bills.
Amen.
Oh. And verse 10 tells you why. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, how many of y'all want your barns to be filled with plenty?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know what you got to do? You got to die. You got to die quickly to yourself. Yeah, but you don't understand. I have diapers to buy. You don't understand. You give God 10% of what's due to him, you have a barn full of diapers. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, but you don't understand. They're gonna turn off my electricity. Praise God. Use a candle till God moves on your behalf. Yeah, but it's hot out. Open your windows. Oh, hallelujah. He who trusts in man is cursed. He who trusts in the Lord is blessed. See, the devil's always trying to get you in cursed position because the curse brings the wrath. Everybody get it? Glory to God. Can we go on? Well, then, okay. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. Some of us are saying, man, every time I come to this Bible study, I get convicted, man. Praise God.
Fire. Amen. If you're not inspired.
1 John chapter 4. In verse 4. Glory to God. Let's read it. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. But listen, if you don't have fellowship with he who is in you, hello? You're not giving him reign over your life. In verse 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Sounds like their friendship with the world, isn't it? We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who does not know, does not, he who is not of God does not hear us. Wow. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, now listen. So he who is not of God, or he who is not fellowshipping, because he, listen, he's talking about believers too, you know. Because believers move out of position. And when they're not listening, one of the things a believer has a hard time doing, unless he's right with God and in position, he's willing to receive counsel, correction, and direction. And you know what? We must learn to receive the correction, counsel, and direction from the Lord every morning.
Amen.
Then we wouldn't have to get it from our pastors. Amen?
Amen.
If we go to God every morning and get it from there, everything that you'll be preached, everything that you'll hear will be giving you witness. Yeah, cool, all right, thank you, Lord, I got that this morning.
Amen.
Amen. If we're listening, if we're taking time and seeking the Lord, if we're going after Him, He says, if you go after me, you'll find me.
Amen.
You know, we must set our hearts towards Him every day. We must make connection with Him. And it doesn't mean he has to show up in a cloud of glory. It doesn't mean that your windows have to blow out in your house. Hello? It means you just got to make contact, and you know in your spirit. You know. Amen? You know. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. So, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. In other words, he who is fellowshipping at that point hears. Because why? The devil likes to come in what? Blind. Doesn't he? And as soon as he can blind us, that means he's accessing us and bringing us back under his authority. You know, I always share with people, listen, if you don't have dominion over your members, somebody does.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. So we know that there is the spirit of who? Truth and the spirit of error. And when we come under that authority again, we're fellowshipping with the spirit of error. You know, we minister in the jail, and we come against so much religious garbage. And unfortunately, there's much religion being preached in there. You know? And the Lord has always shared with us that we're the cleanup ministry, like the fourth batter in a baseball, the lineup, whatever. You know? And because of that, sometimes it's difficult. And it's difficult for the men that are being, especially the babies that are up and down and so forth, and bound by religion. Because one of the greatest powers of darkness in religion is pride. The second one is fear. They're afraid they're getting found out. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 8. In verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now we understand that that spirit of bondage he is talking about is the spirit of the world. Does everybody get it? Because the devil brings bondage, doesn't he? Religion brings bondage. Fear brings bondage. God is not looking at how much you know. He's looking at whether you know him. There's a lot of people that know about him, but don't know him. There's a lot of people who have nothing but fellowship in the letter, but not in the spirit. And it brings bondage. That's why the word says the letter killeth, but the spirit brings life. Amen? So we see here that we do not want to come under the spirit of bondage, and pride is a representation of a spirit of bondage. In fact, every demon carries the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Every demon is an antichrist spirit. Does everybody get it? Those are one of their characters. Of course, each one is ranked in a certain area and so forth. We're not going to get all into that. But there are spirits of pride. They're known as a haughty spirit. Okay? Praise God. Isaiah 14. Let's go to the Prince of Pride. Isaiah 14. Hallelujah. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Everybody there? Let's read it. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Sounds like a lot of I's. And I share with people, I. Did you ever hear that song? I. It's nothing but a demonic pizza. I. Don't eat that demonic pizza. It's got five eyes on it. In verse 15, this is the Lord's response. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which is hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. So that's where pride brings you. If you make contact with the five eyes. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3. Next time you order a pizza, be careful now. Yes. Hallelujah. First Timothy chapter 3. You know, that's one of the hardest things that we have to fight, though. You got to understand that. Even when God gives you revelation and increases his wisdom and knowledge in you. I mean, you know, Solomon fell to big pride, man. Big pride. God blessed him with wisdom and knowledge. I mean, but Solomon fell to big pride. He began to trust in himself and began to allow altars to be built and forgot God. Does everybody get it? Even though he built the temple of God, he still forgot him. He fell into big pride, man. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Hallelujah. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of bishop, he desires a good work. Or in other words, if he desires a position in the body of Christ. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, a good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. That's one that's supposed to fulfill an office. Not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, not one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence and not by fear. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So we must allow God to promote us, not us. Amen? Not a novice. Hallelujah. Now, let me share something with you. Pride, the devil snares man with pride, doesn't he? Let me share something with you. Pride stops deliverance. Pride will stop you from getting delivered. Pride will stop you from getting healed. Pride will stop you from blessing and freedom. Pride is the number one thing that prevents people from getting free from demonic holds in their life. Pride also prevents that individual from getting in position and getting the blessings of God. Then the individual begins to work on blessing himself. Pride stops everything. Pride. That's why the devil loves to snare us in pride. Stops everything. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Amen? So Paul is expressing, he doesn't want his people to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And he begins to explain certain things. And he says in verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the what? Same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the... So the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of who?
All.
Everybody say all.
All.
All. Amen? Not for one's exaltation. It's for the profit of all. Does everybody get it? All. And this is where people begin to use the gifts of the Spirit for their own advantage. Ooh. Ooh. You know what that is? That's pride. And behind that, involved in it, is a controlling spirit. And they begin to work in a mixed anointing. Does everybody get it? Now let me explain this a little bit more. The spirit of pride exercises their controlling spiritual gifts among the people of God. And they begin to use these gifts to puff themselves up so that they can get control. And they have a form of godliness, but yet their fruit stinks. They have no dominion or control over their own temple, but yet they try and take control over others by using the gifts of the Spirit. And that is a demon of pride. And you and I are to judge these things because you and I are to have discernment. Amen? We're to have the discernment. You don't discern by gifts, do you? You discern by fruits. You don't discern how much a person has wealth of. You discern by their fruit. You determine, you judge by their fruit. If their fruit stinks, I don't care how great their gifts are. Don't accept them. They're walking in a mixed anointing. And that mixed anointing is known with a familiar spirit. Because that person is bound by the demon of pride. Does everybody get it? Oh, he may get great revelation. He or she may be able to prophesy and speak. He may have a word of wisdom. She may have this. She may have that. She may sound great, swelling words. But let me tell you something. If they can't have control over their own temple in their own house, do not accept anything they have to say. Because they're walking in a mixed anointing. And the devil's hand is right there. And what the devil tries to do is puff up and not straighten up. Does everybody get it? So you and I must have the discernment of this. We must be able to judge. You judge by fruit. Amen? Hallelujah. Because what gets involved in there is a controlling spirit. And they begin to utilize the gift to control lives. Exactly. It's witchcraft. It's not the Spirit of God. Does everybody get it? So you and I must have the discernment of this. Hallelujah. You know, there's going to be much more that's coming on. We got to know this stuff now. Because there's going to be more and more false prophets of what the Bible said. And they're going to be believers that don't even know they're being used. There are going to be believers that love God, but don't even know they're being used because they're out of position. Does everybody get it? So you got to judge by their fruits. If their fruit ain't right, don't accept the gift. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hallelujah. Okie dokie. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
In verse 1.
Amen.
Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Let's start with verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now understand this. So you didn't fall into every category. Did you fall under one? Hello? Did you fall under one? Do y'all get it? If we fall under one of these categories, we need to get rid of the pride. And verse 6, for of this sort are those who creep into the households of true ministries and make captives of gullible people. Or they creep into the body of Christ and make captives of gullible people. We won't let them stay in here. Loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, isn't that powerful? This is what we were talking about. They're learning, 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 but they're never able to come to the truth because they have no relationship in the Spirit. They haven't taken that time. That's all they're doing is learning. They're not fellowshipping. See, if you don't have fellowship, that means you don't have fellowship with the Spirit of truth. Then you're always learning and not able to understand truth. So you can memorize the Bible from cover to cover and not know nothing. Because it's truth that makes people free, not what they know.
Amen.
And what we're dealing with is the spirit of truth or the spirit of what? Error. Ooh. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We got this one guy in our class in jail, And the other day, went in there to minister Monday, and my hope was to get in there and do some praise and worship and stuff, and the Lord didn't allow me to worship. And I wasn't really prepared and he gave me a preaching and a teaching for 2 hours. And he said, I want you to keep, bam, bam, and we didn't get to worship. Now, that was probably the first time that I really, unless we've been shut down and couldn't worship. And it was a specific reason. And obviously, what had been preached in there prior, which I didn't know about, was so much garbage about that you have to be baptized in water to get the Holy Spirit. That you had to, nothing but religion and rituals that if you don't get baptized in water, you're going to hell. All of this poop. All this garbage. And the Holy Spirit just had me going and going and going. Now you can start seeing some people start sitting down in their seats, you know, because of, you know, truth is being revealed. See, I was never baptized in water. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then I went and got baptized in water, you know, because I did it. You know, baptism with water is the same ritual that we utilize as when we do communion. It's in remembrance. It's acknowledgement. It's symbolic. Jesus said, eat this and do this in remembrance of me. We get baptized in remembrance of what he's done. We make a public confession when you and I are baptized in water. But you can go get baptized in water and not repent. You ain't saved. Hello? So you can go through all the rituals you want. But the baptism in water is not going to get you home. Your confession of sin and fellowship with Jesus is going to get you home. But the Lord had me just preaching I think he had me empty every bullet I had. And there was a lot of straightening up. And anything that was puffed up was blown up. Because it's the Spirit trying to rescue his people from pride, from deception, from traditions of men, from the spirit of error. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Okay. So we see that the spirit of pride is the spirit of the world. He brings bondage. He's a demon. He boasts on what he knows instead of who he knows. He refuses correction and counsel, runs from the truth, blames everyone for their own faults. For his own faults. Won't take responsibility and won't admit wrongs. Justifies of their rebelliousness. He justifies of his rebellious actions. And won't make confession of his own sin. He confesses of his own achievements and claims outreach godly promises when his own temple is not in order. He wants control over every circumstance, lies to protect himself, and claims his own self-righteousness. That's pride. Luke 18. Got real quiet in here. It's okay. Come on now. Hallelujah. The spirit of pride. Personal reverence into a deadly end. Luke 18. Whoa, verse 9. Let's all read this together. Hallelujah. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Whoa, let me, pride always criticizes everybody. Pride always looks at everybody's wrongs. First thing they want to, when you see them, oh, you know what? Did you see such and such? You know what such and such is doing? Man, you need to look in the mirror. Amen? In verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector, all justifying and boasting of his own goods. Thank you, Lord, I'm not like them. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Wow. James 4. James chapter 4. A couple more scriptures. Hang in there. You got all night to repent. We got all night to repent. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's all in preparation. The devil's going to try and attack you any way he can. You know. Sometimes a brother might be sharing something with you, even your wife. You got to listen. Especially if you hear it more than once. There's something wrong. Hello? Well, how come that brother ain't... That, how can I receive something from that brother who ain't walking right? Because God will use anybody. Out of the mouth of two witnesses. Hello? And you know what you need to do? Go to the Lord. Or you need to go to the office and get counsel. And ask. Find out what's happening. Don't hold it there. Because the devil's got access to you. He has access to blind areas of our lives. We all are vulnerable. If you think you made it, you already bit the bait. None of us has made it. None of us. The day you made it is when you hear the Lord say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. But none of us has made it. None of us. And if we'll stay in that attitude that none of us has made it, you'll stay humble. And you'll be willing to do whatever it takes to stay humble. Let God build our house. Amen? In verse 13, James 4 and verse 13, I believe. Hallelujah. Let's read it together. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Wow. Titus chapter 1. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 1. In verse 10. Titus 1 and verse 10. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's read it together. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and their conscience are defiled. They confess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. There's a lot of people who confess to know God, but they don't. And you'll know them by their fruit, won't you? Amen. Titus 2. We'll end here. Titus 2 and verse 11. Thank you, Lord. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Amen? So let's not allow the spirit of pride or anyone carrying pride to despise you. You check by fruits. Don't fall into the trap, and when you bite the bait, spit it out real quick. If you're beginning to hear brothers or sisters or your wife or spouse or friends begin to speak certain things, you know, check it out. You might be blinded somewhere. Hello? And if you're not willing to check it out, you know you got a problem. If you got to hear it more than 2 and 3 times, there's a problem. But if we're checking ourselves out every morning with God, and we're asking to be filled with the Spirit, and we're being disciplined in seeking him, and we're doing what's supposed to be done every morning with the Lord, you'll know where you're at. Does everybody get it? Father, we thank you for your word. We plead the blood of Jesus on the seed. And Lord, again, search us through. And wherever there is a seed of pride in us, Lord, Lord, we curse it. And we command it to wither and die, and we command that spirit to loose us. And we repent for our pridefulness, our arrogance, our selfishness, our greediness. We repent for our own way, Lord, and sowing to the flesh. Lord, we break and loose us from all this curse and self-imposed curses in the name of Jesus. And we ask for the Spirit of the living God to take his rightful place in those areas, bringing light and truth and freedom in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen and hallelujah.
Hallelujah.